ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
While Pope Leo talks global conflict, in the country of his birth, the church is increasingly at odds with the Trump administration. Now, Leo grew up on the streets of Chicago, where politics and religion went hand in hand. Heidi Schlumpf is senior correspondent for Commonweal magazine and a former editor of the National Catholic Reporter. She was based for many years in Chicago.
I think what we're seeing, and many people have noted this after the 6 months into his papacy, is that there is a continuation with what Pope Francis started. The types of issues he's emphasizing, the emphasis on the poor, comments he's been making about immigration and migrants. We just had him recently make a comment praising the U.S. bishops for their statement calling for more humane treatment of migrants during this mass deportation of the Trump administration. In response to a controversy here in the United States about the Chicago Cardinal Supich trying to give an award to a pro-choice politician, but for his work with migrants, Pope Leo said, you know, he has a more expansive view of what's pro-life. He's looking at issues like the death penalty as well. He has a different style and personality than Pope Francis, and I think he's trying to model an openness to different perspectives. So, for example, allowing the traditional Latin Mass to be held at St. Peter's. But I'm seeing a lot of continuation with Pope Francis.
Yeah, just on that matter of the traditional Latin Mass, someone who's appeared on our program quite a lot, and I'm sure you know him well, Professor Massimo Fagioli, made this interesting point in an essay in Commonweal, where you are now one of the senior editors, suggesting that this was a good, in a sense, a good political move on the part of Leo to allow indeed one of Pope Francis's antagonists, Raymond Burke, to lead a Latin Mass. Is there a bit of politics in this, keeping his enemies closer, as it were?
Possibly. I was a little surprised when I first heard about it, but I think it makes sense because this issue of the traditional Latin Mass has become such a divisive issue for so many Catholics and for conservative Catholics. I agree with Pope Francis when he was trying to put the brakes on some of this. Not that he opposes the beauty of the ancient liturgy, but he was concerned about the politicization of the people who got involved in some of those communities. But I think Pope Leo is probably smart, and I would agree with Professor Fagioli about this, to do this. And I think it did yield some good results in terms of more conservative Catholics feeling positive about Pope Leo. But then when Pope Leo speaks out for the rights of migrants, then they tend to attack him.
In your extensive journalism, Heidi, you've actually investigated the influence of conservative or small-o Orthodox Catholic movements. You had a particular deep dive into the Eternal World television network, which is very influential. I see that Mark Masser has recently released a book on Catholic fundamentalism. What, in your view, makes these movements so persistent? I'm not saying that necessarily in a negative way. I'm simply saying what gives them their durability.
I think that the black and white thinking that is part of many of these movements is very attractive, especially during times of massive social or technological change like we're going through right now. But over time, you know, as people live their lives, they have more experiences in the gray of life. And I think the limits of some of that black and white thinking becomes evident. But so why is it so persistent? Some of the, especially younger Catholics, maybe get involved in some of these movements or these conservative Catholic organizations, especially here in the United States, many of which have quite a bit of money and start getting most of their information through some of these more conservative groups. Then we see the combination with the secular politics as well.
But do they not also, Heidi, present not just a different view of politics, but a different mindset to a world that is drenched in very depersonalizing technology. My culture, and certainly yours, is a highly sexualized culture, often in a very coarse way. I wonder if part of the appeal of these conservative and orthodox Catholic movements and other religious movements is that they are a clear demarcation. It is an otherworldliness that people find appealing.
Yes, certainly. I think many traditionalist Catholics are attracted to, for example, the beauty of the Catholic liturgy, of the sacraments, our deep history of spirituality and spiritual, you know, leaders and people. A lot of that stuff is also attractive to more progressive Catholics as well. But our faith calls us to be paying attention to what's going on in this world. So I think it doesn't have to be an either or.
The flip side of that, I guess, Heidi, is the changing nature, though, of liberal Catholicism. I mean, how has the definition and the identity of liberal Catholicism changed?
I see a lot of Catholic commentators in the United States who think the Democratic Party needs to focus more on economic justice or working class concerns and less on some of these issues that have come to define the left in these times. So gender, race, abortion, these kinds of issues. But the liberal Catholics I know don't seem to have a problem caring about a multitude of issues, as long as they all have to do with the dignity of the human person. What I've been seeing, especially in the last just few months or even weeks, is progressive and moderate Catholics coming together over this issue of the treatment of migrants, especially in our cities. Here in Chicago, where we have masked thugs from the government grabbing people, throwing them to the ground, arresting people for just observing or protesting, spiritual leaders unable to bring the Eucharist to people who are being detained, many of them citizens or people who are here legally. So I've seen groups of progressive Catholics marching behind a priest carrying a monstrance, trying to bring Eucharist to these fellow Catholics who are in this detention center. And then you have U.S. bishops coming out as a conference with a statement supporting migrants and the Pope agreeing with them. So it seems to me that some of these issues are defying political categories and are having Catholics of various stripes kind of come together around this issue.
I think that it's particularly apposite, my talking to you in Chicago, because not only was it the home of Pope Leo, the city that formed him, and I'll ask you about that in a moment, but of course it was also the city of that towering figure, Cardinal Joseph Bernardin. And I'm wondering about that kind of Catholic liberalism, because it was a liberalism that was pro-life. He used to call it the seamless garment idea, consistent pro-life from conception to natural death, which also made him a fierce opponent of the death penalty and euthanasia, but also a strong supporter of social welfare and labor unions and the things that he thought enhanced life. And I'm wondering if that element of liberal Catholicism that marries, if you like, restraint on sexual issues with a fierce commitment to social justice. I'm wondering if that element of the Catholic community is fraying.
You know, I don't have data to support this, but I see plenty of progressive Catholics who are womb to tomb, consistent ethic of life, pro-lifers. What has happened, though, over the decades is that they see a church in the United States that has focused almost exclusively on the issue of abortion to the exclusion of other issues. There's a little bit maybe of resentment or concern about that, which is not to say they're not pro-life, but that they also would like to have seen the church also speaking up with as much energy and enthusiasm and commitment on some of these other social justice issues. But it is true, too, that the church, especially church leaders here in the U.S., have lost some credibility, especially on issues regarding sexual ethics, because of the sexual abuse scandal, because of a position on, for example, contraception, which very few U.S. Catholics agree on. It is true that there's probably some, especially maybe younger Catholics, who are not listening to the church on some of these other sexual issues that you mentioned.
Yes, and your talk there about The sexual abuse crisis certainly resonates in this country, where we spent 5 years covering a royal commission into the depth and the breadth of that tragedy. I do want to ask you now, though, about Chicago and the way that it shapes and shaped Leo. Is there something unique about Chicago culture that would have influenced Leo, particularly Chicago politics?
Now, I have to admit, I'm not a native Chicagoan, but I've been here.
You're drenched enough in it. You're drenched in it enough, Heidi. You know,
I am, and I worked for the Archdiocese of Chicago under Cardinal Bernardine, so I've been in this business for a long time. From what I understand, Pope Leo was very shaped by the Chicago neighborhoods that were drenched in faith and commitment to the parish school, the neighborhoods. This is what Chicago is known for, more than some of the caricatures of our politics. Obviously, he was shaped by the religious orders that he studied with and the religious order he eventually joined. I know he was also very shaped by the Catholic Theological Union, where he went for graduate studies, a school that's still around, still educating a lot of priests, religious, and lay people, and really a kind of place that where Vatican II Catholicism really took root, and there was a lot of exciting things going on here. It's the birthplace of a lot of Catholic movements, like the Christian Family Movement. Some of the Catholic Church involved in union work was in Chicago. So I think he was very shaped by that Vatican II Chicago neighborhood Catholicism.
And Chicago also is famous for that political saying, don't send us no one that no one sent. So if I try to get an interview with Leo, can I say that you sent me?
I didn't know him personally. So he was gone, but good luck. I'd like an interview with him as well.
Yeah, look, just as we wind up, does that blooding in the culture of Chicago strengthen Leo in what many predict will be many future standoffs with the Trump administration over the next 3 years? You've already referred to his statements in support of immigrants. I'm just wondering whether understanding the rough and tumble of a polity like that of Chicago will help him if he does have to face down President Trump.
I should hope so. I think there are issues of war and peace on the horizon that seems like Leo may be very outspoken on, and that the Trump administration seems to be pursuing. Leo has a personality that I think he's able to speak the truth with the Christian message, but do it in a way that is not so antagonistic, so that maybe it can be heard better. He certainly was elected Pope on a fairly quick ballot, and I think he maneuvered those politics pretty well of the conclave. So I'm hopeful that he'll be able to do the same throughout his papacy.
Heidi, thank you for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you so much for having me.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.